from LPM,
Louisville Public Media.
Support for LPM podcasts comes from the Eye Care Institute and Butchertown Clinical Trials, where they strive for diversity, equity, and inclusion within their staff, patients, and clinical trial participants. To learn more, visit butchertown.clinic.
From Louisville Public Media. Support for this podcast comes from Kindred Healthcare, specializing in rehabilitation and long-term acute care services for 30 years. Questions about care after a hospital stay can be answered by speaking with a registered nurse at 1-866-KINDRED. And from KTC Building, seamlessly blending the classic character of older structures with 21st century amenities and technologies. Residential and commercial remodeling projects of any size. Details at KyleThompsonCompany.com.
The Coalition for the Homeless says services were provided to nearly 7,000 unduplicated homeless people in the Louisville area during its 2018 census period. The most recent point-in-time count of Louisville's homeless on a frigid January night found 953 people staying in shelters and 118 sleeping on the streets. Late last year, the Louisville Metro Council allocated some $500,000 in surplus funds to bolster homeless services, but the coming year's budget is much tighter. I'm Rick Howlett. Today on WFPL's In Conversation, we'll talk about homelessness in Louisville with several homeless advocates, and we'll also hear from some people who are or have been homeless. And we want to hear from you. Give us a call or reach out to us on social media. A discussion of homelessness in Louisville this hour on WFPL's In Conversation.
This is a pivotal moment for the West End of Louisville, but is it revitalization or gentrification?
Any improvement they do around here has got to be better.
They're not really asking us, do we want it, do we need it, and can we benefit by it?
The rents are going to rise so fast that they're going to have to leave.
Here today, a new podcast will track the changes in West Louisville and how they affect the people who call it home. Follow us at heretodaypodcast.org.
I'm Rick Howlett, and welcome to WFPL's In Conversation. We get program support from Kindred Healthcare. Well, like many U.S. cities, Louisville faces the daily challenge of alleviating and finding solutions to homelessness. There are thousands of homeless people in Louisville, some living in the streets, some not as obvious, perhaps living in shelters or in automobiles or staying with friends or loved ones. Today, we're going to talk with some of the people who offer and oversee services for the homeless and hear from some of Louisville's homeless residents and those who have overcome homelessness. Natalie Harris is here. She's the executive director of the Coalition for the Homeless. The coalition is made up of more than 30 member agencies that work collectively to serve the homeless in our community and address some of the root causes of homelessness. Natalie, welcome to the program. Good to have you.
Welcome. Thank you.
One of the members of the coalition is the Wayside Christian Mission. Wayside's Nina Mosley is here. She is the chief operating officer. To call Wayside just a shelter would be a vast understatement. Wayside provides numerous services for its clients, and Nina will be telling us about those during the program. Nina, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And who better to talk about the experience of homelessness than someone who has been there and is in a transition? And we're pleased to have Aaron Jones with us, who is going through a program at Wayside. Aaron, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you. And Eric Friedlander is here. He's the Chief Resilience Officer for Louisville Metro Government. He oversees city services for the homeless and works with homeless agencies, among many other things. Eric, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to be here.
We welcome you to take part in the program as well. We want to hear from you. Have a question or comment for our guests? What's been your experience with the homeless or homelessness? Call us 502-814-TALK, 502-814-8255. We're also on Twitter. Our handle is WFPL News, and we're on Facebook. I want to start with you, Natalie. Many of us think of the homeless as people on the street that we encounter in our daily lives, but really they're just a segment of the population. Can you give us a definition of homelessness? What constitutes homelessness?
Well, there are lots of different reasons why people end up being homeless, but the reality is those who reach the point of being homeless are all have one thing in common, and that's poverty. So I have family members with drug addiction, and I have families who've dealt with domestic violence and mental health issues. But if you don't have the financial means to be able to address those issues, that's where you end up on the streets. And, you know, we see about 80% of the people, and actually now the number is a little higher of our homeless population, are poor families who live right on the edge. And so they're in and out of homelessness for short periods of time, but never really able to get out of that cycle. And the smaller segment is what you actually usually see on the streets, people who have become so desperate through either alcohol or drugs or mental health issues or all the above, that end up so desperate that they have to go to those means.
Now, you conduct a homeless census every year, and the last one counted, I think, nearly 7,000 people who had sought services during a period that covered much of 2018. Obviously, that's a lot of people, but comparatively speaking, is that a large number for a city the size of Louisville?
It's still a decrease from where we were 7 years ago. But this is the first year in the last 7 years that we had an increase in the number. But if you look at where those people were, you'll see that a large part of why we had that increase is, for one reason, it was 2 degrees outside when we counted that night. So the inside count was much higher than normal. And thanks to Wayside for opening up the low barrier shelter, we had an increase in chronically homeless, people who were inside, and veterans on that night, because all of those groups were coming in and were much easier to count than they would have been on the streets.
And unbelievably, on that night, I think we had more than 100 people still outside.
Yes, there were 86 people, I think, that were actually counted on the streets that night.
Wow, that's really hard to fathom. I remember that chilly January night. Speaking of Wayside, Nina, let's turn to you. You've been involved with Wayside for many years. Give us a little overview of what you do there. I know you refer to yourself as one of Louisville's main safety nets, and indeed you are.
We do have homeless shelters, emergency shelters for men, women, and families. We have transitional programs as well. We have permanent supportive housing for men and for women who are disabled, either mentally or physically. We now have the low barrier shelter at this time. And then also we have a large recovery program. As Natalie said, many of the homeless suffer from abuse, substance abuse, addictions, about one-third nationwide. And so we do have a large recovery program to help folks get back on their feet so that they can reiterate into the community.
Talk about what a low barrier shelter is for those who don't know.
The low barrier shelter takes away some of the barriers that people face when they try to get into shelter. For example, we allow folks to come in with their pets, and we have kennels and food and so forth to help take care of those pets. But a lot of folks, if they have to choose between leaving their pets to come into a shelter, they'll stay on the street with their pets. We also allow couples to come in and stay together, even if they don't have children. A lot of shelters don't have the room to do that, so they would send the men to a man's shelter and the woman to a women's shelter. We also allow folks to come in who have had problems with shelters in the past, and maybe they've become barred. As long as we're pretty assured that they're not violent, that they will come in and follow the rules, we allow them to come in. And folks that are under the influence are often excluded from all shelters. Again, if we can determine that they'll come in and can abide by the rules and go to bed and sleep it off, we allow them to come in as well. So those are the barriers that we address with a low barrier shelter. What folks have to remember is low barrier does not mean no barrier.
Exactly. And we're going to talk with Aaron in just a moment, who sought to help at Wayside and is doing very well. But Eric Friedlander, I want to turn to you, Chief Resilience Officer for Louisville Metro Government. Talk about your office as it relates specifically to homeless services.
Well, sure. We do some things in community services. We have some programs where we work with Housing and Urban Development and some grants that come in from them. I would bore everybody with a lot of initials, but what I'll say is that we provide some case management and support services and try to find landlords. I'm always looking for more landlords who will serve the clients that we serve. We also work very closely with the Coalition for the Homeless and other service providers in the community to try to address as best we can some of the issues facing the folks who are living on Louisville streets.
Now, back in December, I believe, the Metro Council allocated somewhere around $500,000 for homeless services. Can you give us a little rundown of how that money has been spent so far and where you stand with it?
Sure. Actually, that was really an exciting piece for, I think, everybody at the table. We in Louisville didn't have a lot of local funding for services. Most of it came through the federal government. We partner with the Coalition for the Homeless and did in this case. Where we worked together on a pretty short time frame, particularly when you know, in government, we got it in, I think, around Thanksgiving, and we got the money out the door and committed by early January. And what we did was we looked at what our needs were. And we've had a homeless encampment task force for about a year. And so we had been in discussion with the community about what was needed and what was necessary. So we had a decent idea of where we needed to head. And so Natalie and I and a couple of others sat down and asked for some proposals and got some back from the community and tried to address 500,000 might sound like a lot, but it mm-hmm. really, in terms of trying to address homelessness and people who need shelter 24 hours, it's not a tremendous amount. But what we did was we tried to spread it out and address as many needs as possible. So as you already mentioned, Wayside stepped up and opened up a low barrier shelter that we didn't have in Louisville, zero. We had no place for, as Nina said, people, pets, couples, people who might be going in intoxicated. And we learned, and you'll hear this throughout, we learned a tremendous amount. And each step that we took, we opened storage facilities for folks who were able to put their possessions on the street. One of the reasons people don't go into shelter is they're afraid to leave their possessions. When we opened that storage facility, a young man said, you know, possessions don't seem like they're life or death, but it's all I have of my former life, and I'm willing to die for my possessions. So it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. So we were able to open that very successfully at First Link. It's going to transition to Salvation Army. We also then tried to address family homelessness in a couple of ways with a partner, VOA, Volunteers of America. I promised I wasn't going to do initials. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
And also then Family Life Center at St. Stephen's. We ran into some real challenges there because what we were looking to do, a big low barrier shelter has a whole host of problems because you're trying to serve so many people, and I think Nina can say amen to that.
Yes.
And also we were looking to address more in terms of substance use issues, so we partnered with Healing Place. And then we knew we had to go and directly outreach into the camps, and I think this has been what I think maybe, it's hard to say what the most successful piece has been, but this has been a very powerful piece where we've actually working with St. John's Center up in Kentucky, that's two day shelters that are actually have folks that are going out into the camps themselves and getting people connected to services. And there are so many stories of lives that get saved,
sure.
quite literally, for those folks who go out. And the nice thing is Metro Council, Mayor Fisher, they've really allowed us to learn, because we didn't know everything going in. And so we've had some successes and some failures and probably learning every single day about what we can do better and what we can improve. And so Metro Council just passed this last budget. It was really one of the only expansions to continue these things. And we're going to get together again and see what it is and what the best use of resources are. The University of Louisville did a homelessness study. We know a lot more about, I think, some of the subpopulations on the street, and they also gave us recommendations. So we're gonna try to do the best we can. We are solving a national problem on a local level, and that will always be a challenge.
Now we're in a new budget cycle. The word surplus probably didn't come up too much in the latest budget negotiations.
No, so not at all.
How are you adapting to the new budget, which is a lot more austere?
I'm very appreciative of the fact that we got additional funds to continue some of these things that we know have been successful and we know have saved lives. My concern is that we're losing some of the preventative services. community services, we're going to lose a neighborhood place. That's where people can go so that they don't have to become homeless, that we can help people with evictions. So a lot of that type of funding has been cut. And so I'm really worried about that, because I'm afraid, as we've seen a small increase last year, we'll see a bigger one because we don't have those same prevention services.
All right, we're up against a break. Much more to come. We're talking about homelessness in Louisville, and we'll be back with much more in just a moment. This is In Conversation on 89.3 WFPL.
We get support for In Conversation from our sponsor, Kindred Healthcare, specializing in rehabilitation and long-term acute care services for 30 years. Questions about care after a hospital stay can be answered by speaking with a registered nurse at 1-866-KINDRED.
Communities across this country are losing their most reliable sources of local news. Well, fortunately, public radio is still going strong, and that's thanks to listeners who donate. I'm David Green. Please support local and national journalism.
Support now at WFPL.org.
Curtis, I was recently homeless, no longer homeless, so I can speak upon what's been going on out here from experience. It's kind of rough, because it's like a small community of us that looks out for each other. And then at the same time, when you're separated from that, you have to look out and fend for yourself, because you know you might have something that somebody wants, and you have to find you a spot to go to sleep at where you have to feel comfortable that no one's coming to take what you have. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of hard, because most of these facilities that they do have is overcrowded. I believe in myself, there should be more shelters and places for the women than the men. And I'm a man myself, because they need more safety than we need. The one thing I would only ask for is if maybe we can have more storage units for the homeless, so we would know where we can store our things, maybe if it's overnight, because they do have one storage unit now, but it's only for the morning to the afternoon time. So overnight, when you have to watch your things, it's kind of hard, because I didn't hear two people already since I've been out here had their parents' ashes taken from them. Who would do that? There's a lot of things out here for you to say that now. It's not just like they're not helping. You can go get you some clothes. You can go get yourself something to eat. You can go get yourself somewhere to stay. It is up to you to take these advantages.
What was very helpful for you in terms of services from the city?
That care to care. Hip Hop Cares. They're there every Sunday, 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, making sure everyone eats, they have food, clothing, things of that nature. The Golden Arrow is for women and children. They provide diapers, things of that nature for you. So there are a lot of places and opportunities where you can keep yourself maintained and balanced. It's just not openly told to everyone.
And thanks to Curtis, who spoke yesterday with our producer, Kaylin Jackson, talking about his situation. He's out of homelessness, and we wish him well. We're listening to In Conversation on 89.3 WFPL, and we're talking about homelessness in Louisville today with Natalie Harris, who is the executive director of the Coalition for the Homeless. Nina Mosley is here, who is the chief operating officer of Wayside Christian Mission. Aaron Jones came along with Nina. He is client. Is that what you refer to the people who go through your services as clients? I want to make sure I got that right. And we're going to talk to Aaron in just a moment. And Eric Friedlander is here, who is the Chief Resilience Officer for Louisville Metro Government. And again, we want to hear from you. What do you think? 502-814-TALK, 502-814-8255. We're also on Twitter, WFPL News, and on Facebook. And Natalie, as we spoke with people yesterday, that was a common theme, and Eric talked about it as well, is one big problem among many that homeless people have is having a place to put their belongings, because that is their world.
Yes, and it was also listed in the recommendations from U of L, and the city is now working on trying to expand that opportunity and add hours. I also thought it was really perceptive of Curtis to bring up the needs of women. I don't think people realize how vulnerable women are on the streets, where men are likely to be on the streets for an average of about 6 years. For women, it's 16. They're vulnerable in lots of ways that men aren't when they're on the streets. And nationally, there are more beds for women across the country. But here in Louisville, we are just the opposite. We have many fewer and a much longer waiting list for women to just get into shelter. So that is a really big need in our community, as well as shelter for people who have health or mental health issues.
Aaron, I want to turn to you. Thanks for coming again. And you sought help with the Wayside Christian Mission. Doing well. Tell us your story. Tell us about yourself.
Well, actually, I became homeless due to bad choices. I was incarcerated, and when I was incarcerated, I decided that what I kept doing wasn't working for me. I found out about Wayside while I was incarcerated, and I wanted to go somewhere where it was stable, where I can actually work on myself. And when I got out of prison, I came to Wayside, and I needed to be around positive influences, and Wayside gave it to me. I came through the men's recovery program at Wayside, which was a program to teach me about what was going on with me, that I suffered from a disease of alcoholism. And at first I didn't know that. I just thought that I could do okay, stop using for a while, and things work out. I was the alcoholic that would always have a job, but I'll always turn to bad behavior. Upon coming to Wayside, I actually came through the men's recovery program. Then I started working on some goals. I became a lead, then I became assistant of the men's recovery program and started helping guys out that that I've been through. Now I can help someone else out. I actually went back and got my record expunged. I actually went back and got my high school diploma, and now I'm actually in college at JCC. Due to a positive mindset and being around positive people, my thing is the shelter is a temporary. It's temporary. It's actually for the men and women that can come in there and be around positive people that's going to be willing to help them, and they can move forward in their lives, become productive members of society. Today, what I do is I give back. You know, that helps me more than anything. I think once a man or woman goes down a bad luck or end up in a shelter, there's a lot of people that would help you to get through your process. I'm just one of the lucky ones. I just want to give back and be a positive influence to say whatever mistakes that you make in the past, you can always correct them with people that's going to give you the right information. They're going to give you positive influence. And sometimes a smile, you know, takes care of a lot of things.
So do you have goals? What's your next step? I know this is a process.
Yes. Well, my next step, I'm in college now. I hope to be a therapist later on, you know, 2 years, and then hopefully go to UofL for the master's. My thing is to help counsel other men and women and even kids to not to make the mistake that I did. Sometimes when the family is broken up, we tend to hang out in the streets and be around negative people, and they become our role models. And today, I want to be just a role model to show, hey, this is how life can treat you, and this is how what you can do about life. We can always improve our life, you know, and just keep giving back to our community. I think one of the main things is as we get out of the system, because you can get out of the system, just having a positive mindset and change your way of thinking, and then you can give back and help the young ones come along the way. You know, schooling is very important. That's why I went back to school, because I had to educate myself. A lot of things that I learned came through Wayside, you know, through the work therapy program, because a lot of things I didn't know. You know, I thought I knew everything, but I actually found out I didn't. So it helped me to transition. So now I'm more of a productive member. I haven't left Wayside totally, but I am on my way out to transition, get my own home. My first thing is to be getting to a first-time home owners program. You know, balance my budget out, be able to manage my time out, be able to go to the meetings and help fellowship and help other people out as well.
Now, were you, and again, I don't want to invade your privacy, but were you at some point homeless, living on the streets?
This time I have been homeless. Mm-hmm. I was one of them persons that would go out of town because I was ashamed of people seeing me here in Louisville. Mm-hmm. So I slept on the beaches in Florida. You know, so, but I'm not afraid to tell anybody that, because my experiences has got me where I'm at today. The reason that I was homeless was due to drug addiction. I didn't want to do anything different at that time. But now I've chose to do something different. And now since I did that, my life got 100% better. Each day, you know, I'm not going to say it's like sunshine and roses, but it's just an average day. And I talk to other people when I go through things. Wayside is there for you. There's a lot of people there that's doing the right thing. There's a lot of people that come in that were willing to help you. You just got to be have an open mind and ask for some help. And there's a lot of people in the city of Louisville that's willing to help you. You know, so sometimes homeless is a choice, and sometimes it's just not. It's just putting initiatives to go forward.
Louisville seems to be well organized when it comes to this. You have the Coalition, which is all of these agencies. There are a number of shelters. How does that? Where does someone like if someone like Aaron comes to you, Nina? What run us through the process of what happens?
Well, when someone comes in, we try to determine through assessment what their main issues are and where we can step in and help. So everyone who has a substance abuse addiction automatically goes into the recovery program, because until you can get that addiction under control, any other effort you put in is going to be for naught. They can get jobs all day long, but they can't hold a job as long as that addiction is prevalent in their life. So the recovery program is where folks with addictions go. And that's a 6 to 9 month program minimum to work through all of those issues. And a part of that is the work therapy program, because at the same time, we're looking toward the future and training folks how to be a good employee, how to maybe get some skills. So, you know, there is life after Wayside. And then if they don't have an addiction program, then they start working with the case managers and decide what it is, their goal is, and then we map out a path with them so that they can hopefully reach their goals. Some of them, the family is broken up. They just need housing. Some of them do need jobs. So there's a lot of different needs. These are individuals. You can't cookie cut a path for them. And so we have to work with each one individually. Once they complete the recovery program or once they reach their goals, then the focus is on housing in the community.
502-814-TALK is our number, 502-814-8255, as we're talking about homelessness in Louisville on In Conversation on WFPL. Let's go to the phones here. Jeith is on the line. Jeith, welcome to the program. What's on your mind? Jeith, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Yes, my question, it seems that some people just don't want to go into the shelters, but is there a spot for everyone? If they want a shelter, if they want a bed, could they get a spot somewhere, you know, to sleep at night?
This is Natalie, and unfortunately, in the city of Louisville, we do not have enough shelter beds. So if everyone decided, oh, yes, I want to be able to get into shelter, we wouldn't be able to accommodate them. Nina can tell you from her experience with the low barrier shelter, they opened up and were just taking anyone who would come in and reached the point of 161 at least.
I think our top in there was 189.
Okay.
And that was when it was really freezing. So in addition to the 100 bunks, we were able to put mats on the floor of the dining room.
Yeah. So we know there are more people than that.
Yes.
Because there were also families who couldn't get into shelter. So we would need a large increase in shelter beds just to address the need. We also know that one of the things that would help even more is if we had more resources for services in the shelters so that people could move more quickly out from shelter, and they weren't just in a shelter for a couple of days and then back on the streets and then in another shelter for a couple of days, but really working on their issues like Aaron was talking about. And so if we had more services in the existing shelters, I also think we wouldn't need as many additional beds because we could move people more quickly.
Gee, thanks for your call. Let's talk about some of the underlying causes of homelessness. As you mentioned, of course, poverty being number one, but you see a lot of people who suffer from mental illness who really need a lot of attention and services.
Yes, and we don't have the rules that we used to that kept people institutionalized. But at the same time, when we deinstitutionalized people who were mentally ill, we didn't create enough housing for those people. They do get priority in our waiting list. Everyone who's homeless gets assessed and determined who's most likely to die on the streets. So they're more likely to get housing, but they're still not enough. And I think it's really important the coalition tries to work with the direct service providers like Wayside. So where they're trying to deal with immediate needs, we're trying to address bigger systems issues that cause this issue, and one of which is the just crazy opioid crisis yes. in our community, and people preying on people by giving them more and more pills. And so until we can address that and how people are preyed on, also with sex trafficking and other things, so it's we have to remember that our society has created these systems that make people vulnerable.
I have a couple of Twitter messages. What are the current statistics for rural homelessness in the greater Louisville area? What resources are available for such folks?
I don't work in this world anymore, but I used to work for the state of Kentucky dealing with yeah. rural homelessness. As you can imagine, the numbers are much smaller, but then your resources are smaller too. I was right. in a meeting yesterday with somebody from the state who was talking about a couple of counties that are working together on youth homelessness, and that they have about 40 young adults that are homeless in their community versus about 850 a year here in Louisville. But they also had no place to go. So it's give and take.
From Tara, proud to be part of the outreach community. Volunteers comprise the primary workforce of boots on the ground who spend days, nights, and weekends helping folks experiencing homelessness, substance use disorder, and mental illness. We need more affordable housing. Step up, city. Well, that's been a lot of the discussion for years, Eric, finding affordable housing, making it possible.
Correct. That is actually one of the answers, thinking about housing as a right. I know there are other cities in the world, my 100 Resilient Cities connection, that really don't have the homeless issues that we have in this country. And it is because we don't view housing as a right, and we don't invest in affordable housing. And that has been for years, and we have thousands and thousands of units that are necessary to be able to address what is really an affordable housing crisis in Louisville, and also an eviction crisis in Louisville. But I do want to take 1 second. Tara talked about the outreach folks, and I always like to give them a particular shout out, because these are folks who don't get any government funding. Hip Hop Cares was mentioned by Curtis. That's an outreach group, doesn't get any support, but people volunteer. Forgotten Louisville, Fed with Faith, Hip Hop Cares, South End Angels, I'm gonna forget, you know, Keep Louisville Warm, Street Reach, there are Exit Zero. There are all these organizations that go out, go into the camps, get relationships with folks, and try to help them through getting a relationship with people, because, you know, the other thing that happens is trauma, right? And you can't trust anybody. And so if you're going out, and these groups that go out and do this day after day, they make such a tremendous difference in our community. And I think for the people that are actually living in the camps, I would feel remiss if I didn't give them their proper credit. Because I think, you know, if we have saints in our midst, it's them.
And Natalie, we mentioned the homeless census. You rely on volunteers for that as well.
We do. And even in the insane weather we had this year, we had over 300 people come out between 4 and 6 in the morning to go do the street count.
That is amazing. We are talking about homelessness in Louisville on In Conversation on 89.3 WFPL. Our guests today are Natalie Harris, who's Executive Director of the Coalition for the Homeless. Eric Friedlander is here. He is from Metro Government. He's the Chief Resilience Officer who works with the homeless and homeless agencies, among other things. Nina Mosley, who's Chief Operating Officer of the Wayside Christian Mission, joins us as well. And she brought with her Aaron Jones, who has been telling us his story and is a client at Wayside Christian Mission and is going to school and recovering from substance abuse and many other things and being homeless. And we're glad he's joined us as well. We're going to talk to all of these folks more after a break. You're listening to In Conversation on 89.3 WFPL. In Conversation wouldn't be possible without you. To support the work we do, visit WFPL.org/supportinconversation or look for the link in our show notes.
Hello, this is DJ.
I'm homeless.
For how long?
About 3 months. It's hard because you got to keep up with stuff. You know, you get discriminated just because you're homeless. People think down of you. You can be a good person and still be homeless. Maybe you could just be going through hard times.
What do you think is needed for people who are homeless to help?
Stop discriminating. At least help the ones who want to be helped, because in order for it to be helped, you have to want it. And just show kindness.
Are there stuff you're using now that's really helping you, like services, city services, stuff like that?
No, I just basically do it on my own, because for the simple fact is Louisville does have a lot of shelters and a lot of stuff, but sometimes they don't show you respect and treat you how you're supposed to be treated. Basically, you basically treat it like you're in jail type.
And that is DJ, who we spoke to this week. Our producer, Kaylin Jackson, caught up with this week. We wish DJ well. As we talk about homelessness here on In Conversation on 89.3 WFPL, we're joined by Natalie Harris, who's the executive director of the Coalition for the Homeless. Eric Friedlander from Louisville Metro Government is here. Also, Nina Mosley from Wayside Christian Mission. And Aaron Jones, who is a client at Wayside and has been telling us his story. We want to hear from you as well. Your thoughts on homelessness. Do you work with the homeless? We'd like to hear what you have to say. Are you a volunteer? We'd like to hear what you do, what your experiences have been. 502-814-TALK, 502-814-8255. We're on Twitter if you don't want to be on the radio at WFPL News, and also on Facebook. Benny has been holding, and we'll go to him. Hi, Benny. What's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm fine. What's on your mind?
Oh, thank you. Well, first of all, I wanted to give full honor and glory to the Creator. Just wanted to express that I had an experience of homelessness due to an attempt to hire a job, and I got laid off 3 times within a 4 or 5 month period, and lost my apartment and didn't know where to go, and found out about Wayside Christian Mission on Jefferson Street. Went there, and they provided some shelter, and once I got there, I got referred to a rental assistance program through the neighborhood place, and they in turn referred me to the Louisville Jefferson County government, which was on Barry Avenue at the time. They had a CSR program, Community Service Resources, and ironically, they had a grant program for people in transition, and I was Class CDL, Class A driver, and at that point in time, my CDL had lapsed, and after a certain amount of time, the CDL lapsed at least 5 to 7 years. You have to start over, go to truck driving school, which usually anywhere $4,000 to $5,000. Well, ironically, by the grace of God, CSR happened to have a grant program available that included the CDL Class A, so needless to say, I qualified for a $5,000 grant and was able to go to truck driving school in Shepherdsville, Truck Training America, and got my CDL reinstated. And I'm happy to say that I'm still active and in force. And that was the saving grace, basically, the Wayside Mission, neighborhood place, as well as Louisville Jefferson County CSR program.
That's wonderful. We're so glad you're doing well, Benny. How did you, I'm interested in how you came to the decision to seek help. Did someone recommend one of these places to you, or did you you know about it ahead of time? How did that work?
Well, I didn't know about it ahead of time, but, you know, when you're driving around town, you know, you can't help but see a lot of folks who are on the streets are homeless. And and when I was about to lose my apartment, while I was packing my stuff, someone had mentioned check out Wayside. I didn't know where I was going to go. I was just packed. I know I had landlord tell me I had to go. So when they tell you got to go, you got to go. You don't know where you're going to go. You don't know where you pack your stuff at or store it at. But ironically, I went to Wayside, and man, they took me in. And I was doing that transition. That following week, I went to continue to look for a job at the the work programs that was on Sixth and Cedar, and secured a little part-time job. And then as I said, after about maybe a month or two being there, I got referred to the neighborhood place for rental assistance, but I was nearly trying to transition into another apartment. And at that point, they referred me to the GSI program at Louisville Jefferson County Government. And man, and a lot of them, those grants are for people, either barbers, beauticians, and then when they're bridge builders, when they're doing the bridge project. And I just happened to have my CDL class A that was lapsed. And man, that was just a blessing. That's all I can say.
That's wonderful. We thank you so much for sharing your story, Benny, and we wish you all the best. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
502-814-TALK is our number, 502-814-8255. You want to say something, Emma?
Well, and I was going to say, Benny brings up a good point that there were so many places that he connected along the way that if he had missed any of those, he would have missed his opportunity. And so I hope people know about there is a free app that anyone can use on their phone called Louie Connect. And that app will allow you to look for any free emergency services in the city. And it's Louie with an E-L-O-U-I-E Connect. And they actually now have, in the main library, you can go in and they actually have a big machine that you can do it right there on the machine if you don't happen to have a smartphone.
Janet from Louisville asks, is Louisville a destination for homeless people from out of town? That was a question I was going to ask, too, because there's a lot of services here. Does word get around that Louisville's a welcoming place for homeless people?
So we keep data on all the homeless people that are served in the city, and we 85% of the people who are served here in Louisville are from Louisville, the surrounding counties, which includes people who are in Indiana as well as Kentucky that surround us, and the greater Kentucky area. Most of those are from our area, and we have about 15% that come from all over. Like if you look at all those zip codes, they're all over the country.
Mm-hmm. Which is not unusual in cities. I think every city that feels like they're trying to do a good job then feels like they can be a destination. I think Louisville is, in the community, across the country, probably known as a good place to come if you have substance use issues. Cincinnati, for instance, is known, I think, as one that does really pretty well with some behavioral health issues. So sometimes those cities feel like they get chosen, but really the statistics don't bear it out.
I want to ask you, Eric, before the time gets away from us, about homeless camps. I think there was one just last week that was torn down by the city. Walk us through how that process worked. There has to be a certain amount of notice given, is that right, and before this takes place?
Yes. Last year, Metro Council passed an ordinance that said we needed to give a 21-day notice, which is really kind of high standard in the U.S. Many cities give much less notice. And it was because we messed up, right? It was because we cleared a camp out, people lost their possessions, and we realized, all of us, that we needed to do a better job. So we will go and assess a camp. Somebody will report a camp. We'll go and look. Usually it's a team of folks from, like, Solid Waste Management and LMPD and Community Services and Codes and Regs. And we'll all go and we'll look. And we'll try to assess it. What is a health and safety risk there? So we'll look for things like vermin or needles or excessive trash. And it also is based on, neighbors who complain and are worried and concerned and in some cases rightfully so. And we make a decision based on the severity of what's happening in a particular camp. We had all those folks on Jefferson. We wanted to make sure that we had storage in place for people's items so that we could give everybody as much of an opportunity to go into shelter as possible. And that's what we do. The 21 days, those street outreach folks that I mentioned earlier, they will go in and try to get people to services, try to get people other places. And some people will come in and some people won't. We can't force people into shelter. But as Natalie said, we probably could use we could use more beds. There's no question about that. We could use more low barrier beds that are actually more targeted. There's a group, Sweet Evening Breeze, that is looking at one of the subpopulations, LGBTQ youth, that are afraid to go into shelter, maybe been kicked out of their homes, and we don't have a safe shelter for them. And they're fundraising right now, so that's a group that another one that I wanted to mention. There are folks that are trying to do things, and so we look at health and safety. I know people roll their eyes when I'm the one that's saying that in the newspaper, but it's true. We are looking out for health and safety, both of the neighbors and for the folks in the camp, because when you're living in such unsanitary conditions, that can have an impact. We've seen some vectors for disease come in that way. So we have to address those issues.
And it's important to note that the ordinance is only for city-owned property, but the city does work with other property owners to ask them if they're willing to use that same policy.
And I know there have been some complaints as well about panhandling. Is the city considering another ordinance regarding panhandling?
Yes, but I really want to be clear about this. Panhandling and homelessness are two separate issues. Panhandling in Louisville, I used to be a soft touch, and it's the same street outreach folks that said, don't do it. Mm-hmm. You may be paying for somebody's last fix.
Exactly.
You don't know what you're giving money to. There's some concern that it even kind of borders on human trafficking, right? So I keep water in my car in the summer and socks and hats in the winter, and I've never had anybody turn down when I roll down my window and say, do you need some water or do you need a hat? That's more impactful. But I would say they're really two different issues. We actually have a high rate of pedestrian deaths in this city, so we've got to do some things to address that.
Okay, let's get to the phone. We have a lot of people waiting. Scott from Louisville. Hi, Scott. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hello. What I want to talk about today or say today, we've got a friend of ours, and well, sort of, that's a homeless person. He's been on the street for a couple decades. He does have a guardian. He does get money from the government. And even the government has housing for him, but the housing is in the West End of Louisville, which he will not go to because they beat him up and take away his money if he has any. He's schizophrenic and really doesn't know how to control his money or control anything. It's a shame that there's nowhere. He is intelligent enough that if someone could get somebody to live with him, then he'd be fine. But the problem is he lets whoever it is in the house. So nobody in the East End here, where he wants to live, will rent to them, to the government for him. And he does panhandle, and he goes around asking for money when he has money, and he gives away his money. And he's sort of a lost soul, and it's just unbelievable here in Louisville that we don't have some type of a program that could help people with mental illness that, you know, they don't know where to go or what to do or, you know, and we don't know what to do. So we just sort of give him money and take care of him. And, you know, we don't know where he sleeps. You know, he tells us he's by the church or here and there. And he's usually around Frankfurt Avenue or Bardstown Road. And a lot of people know him, you know. But
okay. Okay. Thanks so much for your call, Scott. And we'll respond to that. Again, we as we discussed earlier, people with mental illness, that's a major
issue. Yeah, and it's a difficult situation because my first word of advice would be to work to try to get a guardian for him. So I think I would work to look into what's happening with that guardian, if he has a case manager assigned to him, to figure out what they can do to support his needs, which are obviously greater than the services he's getting right now.
Let's go to Cassandra here in Louisville. Hi, Cassandra. What's on your mind? Are you there, Cassandra? No.
Natalie. Fine, thank you.
Go ahead.
I can you hear me?
Yes, you're on now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I am involved in the Committee on Homelessness recently established at my church. We have homelessness literally on our doorstep. It is such a challenge to figure out how to deal with this situation compassionately while we feel that our staff and our members can stay safe, that we can keep our grounds clean. It is such a challenge. I'm so disappointed that there have been so many cutbacks. There are not enough services but I just wanted to say that this affects so many people, so many aspects of our lives. We don't want to push people away to, you know, maybe a less safe place. This happens in the city all the time. So I guess that's just what I want to say, and if anybody has any comments.
Okay, Cassandra, thanks so much for your call. 502-814-TALK is the number to call, 502-814-8255. Anybody want to respond to Cassandra? If not, we'll go on. I want to come back to you, Nina, about low-barrier shelters. I know there's been some concerns raised about safety and security at these because they're low-barrier, obviously. What steps are being taken to address those concerns?
Well, we have learned a lot since we opened the low-barrier shelter mm-hmm. December 24th. We began by just allowing everyone to come in anytime they wanted to come in. And what that did, it brought an element in the low-barrier shelter that basically came and went several times a day, and they were trafficking drugs in the shelter. And along with that came a lot of violence in the shelter. And so we finally had to look at the procedures and the protocols and adjust them so that now we have a certain check-in time from 3 to 4:30 every afternoon. We have our supervisory staff there during the check-in, as well as security to make sure there are no weapons and drugs coming in. And once you're in the shelter, you're in for the night. If you choose to leave, you can't come back to the next day. What that has done has deterred these folks that want to come in and traffic drugs to the rest of the homeless. And it is a much safer place. We virtually have not had problems since we changed that protocol. So it's going very smoothly now. And what I do want to say about the low barrier shelter, that has been quite an experiment, but since the time we opened until June 30th, we provided 19,607 nights of lodging to a total of nearly 800 different people through that shelter. Over 100 of those folks actually joined our work therapy program along their journey. Several of those families that were in the shelter did come into our family shelter, and some of them have found housing now. Several of the individuals we have been able to work with to get them into other programs. So I think it's been a very impactful experiment, as well as learning a lot to go forward and helping folks.
I'm sorry we can't get to everybody's questions here, but Abby had a question. As an everyday citizen, what can I do to help when I see someone on the street? Talk, give them information. I'm going to direct this question to you. If somebody sees somebody on the street that they'd like to help.
Well, really, you have to be very cautious, to be aware, to be alive. I would assess the situation and kind of like, what can I do to help you? And then have an open mind about what the person is. Really basically listen to what the person's needs are and then try to assess it from then. And then if I can help, I can help. If I can't help, I'll refer them to someone that has more professional advice than I do. But most of the time when I cross somebody across the street, just like today, I'll say, hello, how you doing? My name is such and such. I think names are very important to address a person like they're a human being and go from there. And some people suffer from drug addiction, some people not. You know, just showing that act of kindness just because someone is down their luck.
I'm going to have to stop you there. Aaron Jones, thanks so much for joining us, and we wish you all the best. Nina Mosley from Wayside Christian Mission, Natalie Harris from Coalition for the Homeless, Eric Friedlander from the Office of Resiliency here at Louisville Metro Government. Thanks to all of you for joining us, and thanks to our In Conversation production team, Caitlin Jackson, Brad Yost, Ashley Clark Thompson, Russell Wells, and special thanks to Ron Fisher today. I'm Rick Howlett. Thanks for listening. Next time on WFPL's In Conversation, the Sherman Minton Renewal Project. The 56-year-old bridge connecting Louisville and New Albany will undergo a major makeover, and project leaders are gathering input on how to manage its impact. The bridge carries nearly 90,000 vehicles every day. We want to hear what you think. The Sherman Minton Renewal Project coming up Friday morning at 11 on WFPL's In Conversation with program support from Kindred Healthcare.
Support for LPM Podcasts comes from the Eye Care Institute and Butchertown Clinical Trials, where they strive for diversity, equity, and inclusion within their staff, patients, and clinical trial participants. To learn more, visit butchertown.clinic.